From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Mariculture, which includes seaweed and oyster farming, has been touted as an up-and-coming industry in Alaska. A few years ago, former Governor Bill Walker poured resources into promoting it, but the declining price of oil and a surprise pandemic has some farmers worried about the future. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins visited the capital city's only oyster farm to see how things are going.
Salty Lady Seafood Company is a family operation. This becomes apparent when a small skiff picks me up beachside just a few steps off a hiking trail in Juneau. The captain is owner Maida Mezdag's 13-year-old son. The oyster farm is located close to shore and mostly underwater. There's a floating deck and a large boat making up the business's hub.
Yeah, go ahead and follow me. Let's grab her a life jacket.
When I arrive, Mezdag is just finishing up an afternoon of gathering Pacific oysters to sell in town and returning smaller ones that need more time to grow back into the water in a large square mesh container.
I'm going to make a loud noise, so hold on real quick.
Mezdag started this business about 2 years ago as a way to get her family working outside. She wanted a new career, and farming seemed like a good fit.
We kind of went through all of our options and the cost of equipment, and we felt like oysters were a safe thing. People generally love oysters.
Other states already have a foothold in this industry. By comparison, Alaska's mariculture startups are relatively new, and they're being confronted by some formidable challenges.
I think some of the challenges that we've really faced that we didn't foresee was the instability in the industry, and a lot of that is based on funding, state funding.
To make sure oysters are safe to eat, Mezdag has to get them tested by a state lab. Paralytic shellfish poisoning is a serious threat in the region. It usually takes a week or so for the bivalves to filter the toxins out, so they have to be tested weekly. Right now, the state pays for that testing, which will cost up to $800 each week. But there are concerns the funding could go away next year. Oil prices have hit record lows in recent months, and the coronavirus pandemic is compounding everything. Mezdag says navigating that uncertainty has made it extremely difficult to plan ahead.
It's not just our farm. I don't think there's any way that any farm in the state can afford up to $20,000 to $30,000 a year in testing fees for these small ma-and-pa farms that we have in the state.
Before the coronavirus hit, Alaska's Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner proposed shifting half of the testing costs back to the mariculture industry, with the intent farmers would eventually pay the full price. That proposal wasn't passed in the last legislative session, but the added strain of the pandemic on the state's budget means that cut is likely to be taken up again in another go-round. Melissa Good of Alaska Sea Grant says farmers across the state are concerned.
You know, it really could have devastating effects to the growing mariculture industry.
Rather than pay the full testing fees, Good says there are other cost structures to consider. She thinks it'd be beneficial to have an assessment done to see what other states are doing.
How do we, you know, look at these examples and help support a competitive industry? Because also, if we nudge out our competitiveness, in a broader market, that's going to prohibit a lot of growth.
Still, Good says the pandemic has created other issues for the mariculture industry in Alaska as a whole. A survey commissioned by Sea Grant at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak found 43% of respondents had losses of more than half their revenue. Good says the loss of tourism and restaurant capacity definitely affected things.
We need to load this up and deploy it. We still have a little bit of work to do.
Back at Salty Lady's headquarters on the water, Maida Mezdag packs up 5 plastic totes full of oysters to transport into town. Mezdag says the pandemic did change some of her plans for the summer. It delayed her business from being able to sell oysters outside of Alaska, and she was hoping to have more wholesale buyers. For now, she's shifting her focus to establishing winter operations. She says it's hard to envision what next summer will look like. She's considering opening what she calls a pop-up oyster shack.
It just kind of all depends on where we're at. Everything is so unknown that I feel like for now my main focus has to just be on my kids and getting them through school and getting the product I do have to market.
In addition to oyster farmer, Mezdag has added homeschool teacher to her list of responsibilities. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
Capital City Fire and Rescue recently refurbished one of its ambulances. It saved the city some money, and as an added bonus, the ambulance serves as a second purpose as a piece of public art. I spoke to the artists and the department for this story. Both sides of the newly revamped ambulance feature Clinkit formline design symbolizing the human power of healing. Capital City Fire and Rescue's Assistant Chief Chad Cameron said the department's chief came up with the idea to add a decal to represent Southeast Alaska.
We talked about it a little bit. We liked the idea, and we thought, well, you know, we need to make sure that this is culturally appropriate for Juneau and make sure we check it in with everybody.
Cameron reached out to Sealaska Heritage Institute to find the right artist. Sealaska then partnered with a collaborative organization of Native entities and tribal governments in Southeast known as Unity Group. Tesla Cox works with the group.
We wanted artists that represented our community in Juneau, and both artists are local to our region.
After looking through art proposals, the group chose Mary Goddard and Crystal Kakia Whirl to create the design. Both artists had to work within a specific framework. Federal regulations require that ambulance bodies must be at least 70% reflective, according to CCFR. Whirl says she and Goddard worked to create a unified concept.
So we did a series of sketches and brainstorming, and the thing that kept coming up was the human hand. And we talked about the hand being sort of like the sign of healing, and also it's also a universal symbol that's recognizable by anyone.
Whirl says it meant a lot to represent Indigenous art in a public space. Goddard says the spirit face also has significance to Clinkit culture.
So, like, if you were to see some art, Clinkit artwork, like, and I guess a good example would be, like, the nest house. Well, on the nest of the artwork, there's a face in that nest. And basically that represents the spirit or the life that the nest brings or holds or gives.
When the freshly painted ambulance was finally unveiled, Chief Cameron said it was one of the proudest moments in his 29 years in service.
The message of being a healing hands and healing nature, I really enjoy. I really think, for me specifically, I think when you look at the ambulance, I really think it does incorporate the character of a large aspect of our community here in Juneau.
Cox with Unity Group says she hopes the public work will inspire other communities to represent and support their local artists as well. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Peña. Alaska's Supreme Court has blocked the state's plan to borrow money to pay off hundreds of millions in debt owed to oil and gas companies. A Juneau man, Eric Forer, sued in 2018, arguing that the state's plan was unconstitutional. According to the Friday ruling, the court said that the state's plan is exactly the kind of debt the framers of the state's constitution were trying to avoid when they prohibited lawmakers from taking on debt under most circumstances. When former Governor Bill Walker first pitched the program to the state's legislature in 2018, the state owed about $1 billion to oil and gas companies, and that's how much it wanted to be able to borrow. But it has since paid down some of that debt and currently owes about $720 million. A spokesperson from Governor Mike Dunleavy's office said they would likely put out a written statement on the issue later in the day, but it didn't make anyone available to talk about how the state will respond to the ruling. A federal judge has denied a request seeking to have Alaska election officials send absentee ballot applications to all registered voters in the state ahead of the November general election. The decision by the U.S. District Court Judge Joshua Kindred comes in a case that challenged the state's decision to mail unprompted absentee ballot applications to registered voters who are 65 and older amid coronavirus concerns. Several groups and individuals sued, alleging the state's action was discriminatory. The groups filed a notice of appeal on Friday. The U.S. Forest Service has issued a deadline to the operator of an Alaska Island boat shop to tear down the historic complex and leave, but the owner says the agency's demands are unrealistic. Coast Alaska reported the federal agency has given Sam Romy until December 15th to vacate Wolf Creek Boat Works on the Prince of Wales Island. Ownership of the land parcel occupied by the shop is scheduled to be transferred to the Alaska Mental Health Trust. Romy has disputed the order and hired an attorney. This is KTOO News.